Welcome to the Creative Financing Podcast, where you'll learn how to structure terms and use various creative financing strategies to create profitable deals for short and long-term wealth. Whether you're a buy and hold investor, wholesaler, or flipper, learning creative financing will help you do more deals and unlock profits that you may not even know existed. On the Creative Financing Podcast, we break down actual deals we and our guests are doing and simplify the methods and terms used to execute these strategies. Now, let's dive in and create some terms.
Hey everyone, and welcome to the Creative Financing Podcast. I'm Nicole Kamanjian. I'm here with Cody Richard and the host of the show, Jeff Rappaport. This is episode 210, and today we're going to continue with hybrid interest rates. While listening to this episode, if you guys have questions, just head over to our Facebook group, the Creative Financing Podcast. If you're not part of the community, you can just search the Creative Financing Podcast in Facebook. In that group, we're starting to have a once a month on the second Thursday of every month, a live where Jeff is going to go over different things in real estate investing. So make sure you join that group. If you're watching this on YouTube, feel free to ask questions in the comments below. If you're getting any value from this episode, please like, share, and subscribe to the show. It lets us know that you're learning from the content and motivates us to continue to create these episodes for you guys. We also want your feedback, so please rate and review wherever you listen.
All right, so we're going to pick up where we kind of left off, and that is we're going to continue to work on this hybrid interest rate. And I'm going to pose a question to both of you before we get started here. First being Cody. Do you understand the hybrid interest rate? And if so, if not, but what are your, where are you having trouble?
Yeah, I understand it. I've made some offers with hybrid interest rate. Usually it's when I do like a 2.5% interest, mark up the payment a little bit so it pays down quicker. So I think I have a decent understanding of the process of it.
Okay. Nicole, you're a little newer. So tell me what are your, where are you a little lost?
I guess, well, you explained how to use it or when to use it, right? I'm just still trying to wrap my head around the math that goes around it.
Okay.
So I, like in the last episode, you explained that a little bit. I just don't know how exactly like works. I'm completely lost.
All right. Well, at least you're honest. And to be honest, if you are brand new to creative finance, trying to understand the interest rate thing that I kind of made up in my mind that I use on a regular basis is probably not the place to start. But if you've started to learn, you've listened to our podcast for a while, you're in our Facebook group, you've practiced putting together some deals and you have a foundation, this is another tool that you can add that will give you an advantage in terms of putting together offers.
And part of the way I look at it is it's not that different from a regular creative financing offer. It's just you're upping the payment. It's not amortized on a schedule anymore.
Oh, okay. See, that makes sense. Because I'm like, it looks exact in the last episode, like when you guys were going through the examples, it looks literally the same as if you were putting like a regular, you know, offer together. So I just wasn't clicking on what is actually changing. If that makes sense, other than the payment, but how it makes it hybrid.
In the next three episodes, I would expect that you will not be an expert, right? However, I think that you will see in several different ways of how we're going to use this. And I use it regularly, right? And I don't care if it's on a $60,000 home or a $12 million commercial deal. And I use it almost in every offer to some degree. And the reason for it is that it benefits me. And and I can give a benefit to the seller. So let's jump into another and ask your questions as they come up, Nicole, so that way I make sure that they're getting addressed. Okay. All right, Cody, can you get us to a blank screen?
Yeah, let's jump into the fun world of whiteboards.
There we go.
All right. Here we are.
All right. So let's take a new example. This is one that we did a few years ago, and I just think it's a good one for explanation purposes. So this property we were buying, we agreed to a $415,000 purchase price.
Okay. And feel free to keep going. You don't have to wait on me. I'll catch up.
We agreed to $21,000 down payment. So we are financing $394,000. Okay, so let's just stop right there for a second, okay? So let's think about this for a second. So this house is probably worth, oh, I don't know. We probably thought it was worth $560,000, $575,000, somewhere in there, when we bought it. And this one was an absolute mistake, because the goal really was to buy on terms, sell on terms. But I had just brought on a partner, and he really wanted to renovate it, and there was no stopping him. And so I kind of let him go and do his thing. This particular house was dated, and there was a bathroom that was gutted. All the materials were there, but it had been used as a rental for years. And so what I want to think about here is, all right, let's take $394,000, okay? Yes, that's before we figured out the purchase price. The seller basically said he wanted somewhere between, I think it was 410, maybe 405 to 410. And so we offered him more, right? And you know, we're always trying to get in for a lower down payment. So we offered him 5% down. Okay, so that's how we came up with those numbers. Basically trying to give the seller what they're asking for, if not better. And in this case, it was a little better. But 394 is the amount that we would be financing. Okay, so what I like to do is this was going to be something that in my mind, we were going to do a little bit of fix up, and we were going to buy on terms, sell on terms, right? Create a note, a wrap in between. We were going to get paid like that. Didn't work out that way, but so I want to figure out, hey, where are some numbers, right? So I'm going to take my 394, put it in as present value, and I'm going to just start playing with some interest rates. Okay, so maybe I'll start with 3.25 and over 30 years, and that payment would be 1714, and maybe 3.75, which would be 1824, and maybe 4.25, 1938. Okay, so they range, right? Then that's really all I'm trying to get.
And right now you're trying to look at if you were getting a conventional loan, about what that payment would be.
That is correct.
Okay.
Right. And nothing necessarily. Yeah. I'm trying to think, where would I need to be in terms of a buyer? I'd also want to know what this property would rent for. And I thought it could rent for like $2,500, and it might've even been able to rent for more than that, but $2,500 was a pretty safe bet. And so I figured no matter what I'd like to see happen is at this time, for whatever reason, we didn't think this property was worth as much as it really was. And so I wanted to make sure that we would be in a good spot, you know, a few years down the road. Okay. And this seller didn't want, the seller had a pretty good size tax consequence coming. He had owned this as a rental for probably 20 years. And so he was all in favor of spreading out the tax consequence. He also is a sophisticated investor and he wanted a return on his money. So what we did is we said, all right, we'll give you $21,000 down, present value of $394 with a 2.5% interest rate. For 48 months, so 4 years. So you see already, we're trying to give the seller what he's asking for. It's not always possible. It doesn't always work for us. But in this case, we were like, hey, this would work for us. I think he was renting this for like $2,300. And after taxes and insurance and any maintenance and utilities that he may have been paying, he was probably only netting maybe $1,850. So we thought, all right, let's give him a monthly pay. And we found this. This was a rental. This was a property in the rental section. And we just called him up and said, would you be interested in selling? And he said, yes. But this is a perfect example of, hey, people that rent like cash flow, right? And so we're like, all right, what is the kind of payment that would still work for us that would net him at least as much, if not more, than what he's getting right now? So we picked $2,000 a month, right? So that is significantly, I shouldn't say significantly higher, but $100, $150 more than a conventional type loan would be, but still under where the rent would be. It was still going to be a good cash flow type thing. And so.
And when you say you're looking to sell it on terms, mm-hmm. were you selling it to an owner occupant?
Yeah.
Okay. Owner occupant.
Yep. Yeah.
Okay.
Although in this case, we probably could have sold it to a landlord too. Someone that wanted to long-term rental, or we could have sold it to even like a short-term rental, nightly rental kind of thing. Especially after we remodeled the whole house, because the minor remodel became more like $120,000 remodel. So. Oh.
Sounds like a good job.
It came out super nice, and we were lucky that the market was going up and that we were not very good at figuring out what the value was initially. So, but let's look at what this would mean, okay? So if we put in, why don't you go to your calculator, Cody?
And, okay.
All right, so let's put in 394 as present value. Remember, that's the amount that we're financing. 2.5% interest, 48 months, and 2,000 as a negative for payments. And don't forget that negative or else this doesn't work. All right, so we get a balloon payment of 334,538. Okay, so let's think about this for a second, okay? We owe $394, okay? We are making payments of $2,000 a month. We're paying this down by $60,000 in 4 years,
Wow. Right?
That's like $15,000 a year. That's like $1,200 a month,
And for reference, like 10,000 is pretty good, right?
Well, on a brand new loan, I mean, yeah, but let's think about this for a second. So if I take 394 and let's say I take 4.25%, I think that'll get us close to that payment.
Hey, podcast listeners, it's Nicole here. I just wanted to stop for a brief second to ask you if you're getting any value from this episode, please head over to wherever you listen and rate and review us. It makes it to where we can continue to make these episodes for you guys. If this is your first time listening, please subscribe to this podcast. If you're more of a visual learner, we also have a YouTube channel. You just have to go to the Creative Financing Podcast channel on YouTube, and all of the new episodes have a video to follow along. Make sure you're subscribing, liking, and commenting on those videos. Thanks for listening, and let's get back to the show.
Yeah, it's 1938. Well, still a little bit lower.
Yeah, so let's say 4.5. That'll get us to 1996, right? Now, figure out what the balloon payment is in 4 years.
366.
Yeah, so that we made an extra $32,000 on the principal pay down. So if that's our goal, right, to get that to pay down quickly, we are certainly doing that. And we're able to offer, but what if I didn't want, you know, let's say the cash flow was going to be more like, but maybe it's still 2,500, but we wanted more cash flow based on, could we have offered 1,800, 1,850? Yeah. What we'll do is we'll end up giving up some of our principal pay down for cash flow. It really depends what it is that you want. In this case, we want both, right? We felt like we got a decent deal on the purchase price. We got a good deal on the down payment. We're getting a good deal on the interest rate. So where do we need to be? We kind of split it in the middle, right? So it's actually probably a little bit on the high side, but we thought that would be enticing to the seller. And we're giving up maybe a little bit of the cash flow monthly, but when the balloon comes due, we're making up for it, right? So every time that we pay this seller $2,000 a month, approximately how much is coming back to us?
Oh, man.
Does that make
sense? We're calculating this.
So remember that we're figuring we're getting about $15,000 principal pay down a year, right? Mm-hmm. So if we divide that by 12, that's basically $1,250 a month. Wow. So out of that $2,000, about $1,250 is reducing that principal. We're going to end up getting that back, right? So yes, we're paying $2,000, but in reality, we're getting that money back down the road, right? So we're really paying $750 in interest or thereabouts, right?
Nicole, does that make sense how I got that number?
Yeah. So with hybrid, it's really, I think I understand now, it's really in the payment. And what you're doing with the higher payment to the seller. And I think I see why it works on something that's like free and clear or has a low debt, is because really it's kind of like you're making an extra payment towards to make that balloon like less. Is that right? Am I understanding the concept?
Well, you're not making an extra payment per se.
Well, like it's part like, of, like part saying of the like
payment that you would be making anyway or thereabouts, mm-hmm. instead of, so just like I showed you, if we were paying 4.5, is that what it was? 4.5, I think that we decided yeah. on, that would be close to that payment.
Mm-hmm.
We're still getting principal pay down, right?
Right.
They're still getting about the same payment, right? It was mm-hmm. close to 2,000. However, when it's all said and done, it's $32,000-ish more payoff than it is with this interest rate.
Right.
So if you think about it, if you take $394,000, that's our, that's the amount that we're financing, right? Mm-hmm. And we times it by 0.025. That's 2.5% interest. That becomes $9,850. Okay. Which divided by 12, that would be the interest for the year, right? For the year.
Mm-hmm.
9850. Okay. That comes out to be, is this right? 394 times 0.025, 9850 divided by 12, comes out to be 820, which would actually put this at 11,820. So if we're paying $24,000 a year in payments minus 9850. So we're paying it down by $14,150 a year. Okay. And it's going to grow, right? So that's the first year. And then it's going to, you know, just like it got to over $60,000, right? Pay down 394 to 334. That's about 60,000. It's going to keep growing. So we get a 14,150 the first year, but to get to that 60, it's going to get bigger and bigger and bigger, right? So that's the amortization part. And that's what, when your payment is bigger, you're going to see bigger pay downs. Even though if, when you say we get a $60,000 pay down over 4 years, that's an average of $15,000 a year. But we're short. What does that mean for the subsequent years? They've got to be more, right? To make up for it. So eventually it's going to get up to over 16,000 to compensate for this first year. So that's the whole part of the principal pay down. So if you look at it that way, yes, you are kind of right, Nicole, that you are basically saying, I'm going to pick the payment and I'm going to figure out what's most important. Cash flow, which means I'm going to offer a lower payment and I'm still going to get some principal pay down. It just might not be as rapid. Mm-hmm. Or is it more important to get that rapid principal pay down and still, you know, be able to put it in a place where it generates cash flow. I like to use this a lot when I can offer someone their like a top price for a pretty short period of time because of the rapid principal pay down, right? So, and if you ask sellers, what would they prefer? They would prefer a top price for the shortest amount of time, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the ways that we can get that to them. Okay, so now ask your question so maybe we can make this clear to you.
That was my question. I was just trying to clarify what where my brain was going with hybrid interest, but I think I understand now.
All right, so let's look at one other thing on this example. Let's say that this seller owes $350,000 on an underlying debt at 4% interest, and their payment is, let's say, $1,142, I believe. Oh, I'm sorry, $1,670. My bad.
And this is just from the amortization calculator.
Yeah. Calculator? Yep. Just this would be their underlying loan, perhaps. Okay.
You said 1670.
1670.
Okay.
All right. So what if we had offered the seller this same offer, but he had underlying debt? So let's say in 4 years, and we might not know this exactly, right? Because this would need to be exactly what he agreed to when he took out this loan, not what it is currently, right? But let's just use this. So if we have 1670, let's say in 48 months, his balloon will be 323.
That's all right.
323,797. Okay, so if the balloon that we owe the seller is 334, and he owes the bank 323, he's only making, you know, 10,000 and some change, 11,000, somewhere in there, right? Well, that's, and out of the payment, he's getting, you know, $330 a month cash flow. That may or may not be a good enough deal for the seller. And so this is where you've got to watch. You may have to up your interest rate. You know, 2.5 might not be high enough. Or you may want to amortize your rate. And when I say amortize, more conventional, like his underlying loan, then the interest rates don't need to match. Yours doesn't have to be higher than the underlying loan, but it's certainly something to keep track of, because you can see, hey, over 4 years that this is, we owed 394, the seller owed 350, and we've closed that gap quite a bit, right?
That we went from 45 to 11 or 44 right, to 11
in 4 years. Mm-hmm. So that's something that you want to keep track of. And that's why I say it works really well when there's small amount of debt or no debt. But I can still make it work in these scenarios, but now you got to be a little more careful. And here's one of the ways that you could do it. Could I up my price even more?
Yeah.
Could I entice the seller by upping the price by another 10 grand? I could. Could I entice the seller maybe by upping my payment a little bit? I better be careful. I might get too much principal pay down. Maybe I divide the mortgages. Now, let's not even get into that. I'll just complicate things. Maybe what I do is I extend this note a bit, and I only pay the hybrid interest rate for 4 years, and then it switches to something else for, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 more years. There's a lot of different ways that you can use this to structure a good deal, but just be careful if there's underlying debt that you see how quickly ours is paying down compared to, and you know, if this was 15 years in, that loan would pay down significantly faster than what we're showing here. This would be based on, hey, it's a brand new loan.
You're saying the seller's mortgage would be paying
correct the underlying mortgage, right?
Okay.
Yep. All right. So the next episode, we're going to look at some income property, and in the last episode, we'll look at some commercial property, and you'll start to see why this is why the amount of flexibility that this will give you. Which is exactly why we use it. So, all right. So any last questions?
Nope.
No, it all makes sense.
Awesome. So if you want to learn more about how we do this and creative financing in general, reach out to me, Jeff, at weofferoptions.com. Happy to tell you about our academy. That's what we focus on, is using creative financing to generate income, both wholesale, passive, upfront. It does not really matter. And it doesn't matter what your business model is. You can incorporate it or you can make it. That could be your business model. Certainly join our Facebook group. That's free and easy to do, the Creative Financing Podcast Facebook group. And certainly watch for our live that we'll do every second Thursday of the month on some other topic. I promise that there will be information you'll be able to take away from that and use somehow in your business. And we have an apprentice program where we work with newer investors, where we work virtually nationwide on wholesaling, single family, multifamily, commercial, and now we're looking at doing other. We're not just strictly wholesaling anymore. So if you're interested in that, reach out to either me or Rebecca at Rebecca@weofferoptions.com. Any last words?
Nope, this was good.
Awesome. Okay, go out and create some terms. Till next time.
Thanks for listening to the Creative Financing Podcast. We need your feedback to continue to bring you the best strategies in creative financing. So please subscribe, rate, and review the show on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. We greatly appreciate your ear, and please pass this on. Until next time, create some terms. This show offers general information on creative financing strategies and real estate investments. Nothing contained herein should be considered personal, legal, or financial advice. Every state has individual laws governing the use and type of documents used to execute strategies discussed herein. You should consult with a local licensed real estate broker and attorney before relying on any information contained herein. Information is not guaranteed, and opinions of the guests are their own. Profits are not guaranteed, and there's always inherent risk in real estate investing.